we are seeing Bitcoin prices falling here, still hovering, though, around the $40,000 level. This coming as lawmakers weigh sanctions to prevent Russia from accessing cryptocurrency. We also heard from the Justice Department this week targeting efforts to use cryptocurrency to evade U.S. sanctions in a new task force. Joining us to discuss all this, we've got Mark Lopresti, the Strategic Funds Managing Director. Mark, let's start with broad picture first, because, you know, the thinking has been, as we've seen, the Russian currency pretty much plummet, that there will be a move to cryptocurrency. There's also the school of thought that as you've got these millionaires, billionaires who are trying to evade sanctions, they're going to put their assets in crypto too. How much of that have you seen actually play out?
Well, it's first of all, thanks for having me back. And it's hard to tell specifically from what we see in the on-chain data, who's moving money to evade sanctions and who's moving money because there are concerns about the reliability of the traditional banking system in that part of the world. But there's no doubt that the populace and the citizenry will and has turned to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies as a means to conduct financial transactions in light of mounting inflationary and currency devaluation scenarios occasioned by this kind of remarkable geopolitical activity that we see with Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. And it's really not a new story. We saw this happen in places like Turkey as well, with the ridiculous devaluation of the currency there.
Mark, this is really interesting, though, because even though a lot of these cryptocurrency exchanges are still operating in Russia, there's kind of the argument that because of the sanctions that have been imposed on the financial institutions, the traditional banks in Russia, that it's still very much difficult for people who do want to use cryptocurrency, for example, in that country, to ultimately get the money that they need to use on a day-to-day basis in the absence of the restaurant down the street or the grocery store taking cryptocurrency for the time being. So is the technology really mature enough yet that such that people can really go kind of offline here and avoid the sanctions? Or is there still kind of a good argument that the existing infrastructure does still kind of largely prevent people from freely using this?
That's a great question. And the existing infrastructure certainly doesn't make it easy. But there is technology. There have been advancements in wallet interoperability that allows folks to go from crypto to fiat, perhaps through an intermediate technology. Not to call out any particular companies or names here, but things like Venmo or Venmo-like technologies in that part of the world. So is it easy? No. But is it impossible? It's certainly not impossible. And, you know, folks will turn to alternative measures to transact. And I'm not talking about the bad guys here. I'm even talking about regular folks that in the wake of this kind of activity and destabilization of traditional banking systems, they will and are turning to crypto as an alternative.
Mark, let's talk price action. We're seeing it hover around the $40,000 level. Obviously, we never want to make too much of these correlations. They always prove to be wrong, right? But we have seen it lately kind of move in tandem with the equity space too. Do you expect it to kind of hover around this level? And if not, what do you think that next catalyst could be to move this to the upside?
Yeah. So two great questions in that question. You know, one is, when will this decoupling that everybody's been expecting occur? When will Bitcoin, in particular, stop expressing significant correlation to the equity markets and even more precisely to the VIX? That process, we believe, has started. I said that before publicly. When you have catalysts like this, you saw actually 6 days ago, 5 days ago, Bitcoin start to decouple from equity market price action. That is a good thing. We think that's an initial indication of Bitcoin and crypto starting to fulfill its promise as being inflationary or flight to safety in situations like this. But when it comes to a general price action, you need to do really no more than look at where the main resistance and support levels are. We had a 38.6 resistance level about a week or so ago, just as this crisis was kicking off, and saw that as being, if we broke that resistance level, as an indication that we were going to move significantly to the upside. We did, but of course, you know, to your point, this is a very volatile asset, Bitcoin and crypto generally. And I think we saw that price action spike up a few days ago on the increased use and adoption story. And now we're seeing a little bit of the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt that the crypto crowd likes to talk about when we hear this rhetoric around sanctions and calls for Binance and these other decentralized exchanges to somehow put a blanket ban on all holders of accounts in that part of the world.
Yeah, and their defense has really been, well, the whole point of cryptocurrency is to be agnostic. But at the same time, I mean, it's kind of a good, you know, hinging point to note that the Ukrainian people are trying to use cryptocurrency as well to support their economy. Apparently, there have been a number of donations that have come in via cryptocurrencies. Yeah. And this is significant because even the vice prime minister has been tweeting about they were thinking about doing an airdrop. Now they want to do some sort of NFT to raise money. How have you seen the news headlines coming out of the Ukraine side of things on the cryptocurrency front?
Yeah, well, and I'm really glad you bring that up, right? It's $46 million in crypto-related donations have flowed in to help support this incredibly brave and proud Ukrainian resistance, which you can't talk about this story without giving them props, frankly speaking. And it does show the good side of the coin. It's not all about bad guys using crypto to evade sanctions and move assets. There are good use cases for crypto, as we've seen with these donations. Going to be very interested to see how this NFT program plays out. We're watching that very carefully. And, you know, the one thing I want to mention that drives me a little bit crazy, I was watching the testimony in the congressional hearings this week where Chairman Powell was being beset by questions having absolutely nothing to do with things within his jurisdiction. And folks like Elizabeth Warren, you know, talking about how the whole point of crypto is for nefarious actors and characters. I'm pretty sure that bad guys were able to use fiat currency and traditional finance to do bad stuff before crypto. So it's very important to keep that in mind and to talk about the good uses for this new technology, as well as obviously the challenges from a regulatory perspective as it evolves.
Yeah, and some of that is just a lack of institutional knowledge on Capitol Hill. But even among the regulators over who's responsible for regulating cryptocurrency, it's like that Spider-Man meme where no one knows who's responsible for what.
That's
but
right.
Mark LaPresti, the Strategic Funds Managing Director, thanks so much for stopping by. Have a great weekend.